and meaning Alan, of course. And so then, since then, Alan has, the three of them met up, and then Galcom was founded. Galcom is the Hebrew word, Gal is the Hebrew word for commit, and com is the word for communications. So Psalm 37:5 is Galcom's verse, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And you kind of think to yourself, what organization spends a half an hour every single morning from 8:30 to 9:30 praying? Every morning we have a devotional time and we pray for each other, we pray for the work that's happening. And we do commit our way to the Lord every day, and you can kind of think, oh, that must cost a lot to pay all those people those things. And, you know, just to have everybody just praying and stopping and praying before the Lord. But, you know, that makes all the difference. It does actually make all the difference in us getting along with each other, in us working together well as a team, and all of those things, and praying for the people who are receiving the radios around the world, that they can receive them and that the Holy Spirit can energize those words that are written on, that are broadcast over those all over the world.
So what do we do? I guess you've probably got a bit of a taste already for what we do. If you're hearing about Galcom for the first time, as Shelley said, we began in 1989 building solar-powered radios fixed-tuned to Christian radio stations all around the world. So of course that's our first thing that we do. We build solar-powered fixed-tuned radios. So every radio has a solar panel on it. In the old ones, it was one that flipped up on the top. And on those, it was just a switch that turned them on and off. And so you'll turn them on and Christian radio instantly. You didn't have to search for it. You didn't have to hope you found it or know where you were looking. That was there. And but now, back in about 2010, 2012, we realized that most of our listeners were actually requesting Bibles as well, because they're hearing about the Bible on the radio but didn't own Bibles, and many of them didn't know how to read. And so it seemed natural that we would try to incorporate a recorded Bible on the radio so the listener could choose to listen to either the radio live or a recording of the Bible. So we began that back in 2000. I think 13 was the first time we went out with those. This year, we've just launched our newest one. It's called a compass. Hopefully, the compass will give direction, and Lord willing, many will come to hear about Christ through the direction of the compass. And it's got a better speaker. It's got a bigger solar panel. It charges faster, lasts longer on each charge, and is hopefully more intuitive to navigate. So that's the first thing that we do. We produce solar-powered fixed-tuned radios.
Let's tell you a really quick story. There was a man, and his name's James Hutton, and God used him to help us and we to get the radio going. We were having a hard time getting the new one launched. I'm trying to tell it really quickly because I didn't intend to tell the story, except that it's an amazing story. And he was going to church in Oakville, and he wasn't a Christian really, but he grew up in a Christian home. But to make his parents happy, he just kept going to church, and he went to church. And when he was there, then one day his girlfriend, who was a Roman Catholic, decided to come to church with him, and she actually became a Christian, but a real Christian. And she actually started to follow the Lord. And he thought to himself, "What's up with my girlfriend, right? And why has she changed so much?" And then he realized that he needed a relationship with the Lord as well. And so then he was working for, he's a very brilliant engineer, electric engineer, that kind of thing. And he was working for a marijuana place and making equipment for them. And then he realized that God didn't want him there anymore and didn't know where he could go and where he could use his skills. And so he talked to one of the pastors at his church, and they'd sent mission trips with Galcom. Anyway, then he started to work for Galcom, and he was amazing. Like, God has used him, and now God has called him. He left now, and he's going to Utah. He feels that God's called him to work among the Mormon people. But for the time that he was there, he was able to help us to develop this radio, which is pretty amazing that God brought him just to when we needed him, and thankful for God supplying the things that we need. And we also make solar-powered audio Bibles. So this is an audio Bible. Probably some of you work for New Life Prison Ministry or Hell, but New Life Prison Ministry, we've had thousands of them go into they're clear and they go into the prison system. They have audio recordings for Christ on them. And prisoners are listening to them all across Canada in the Canadian prison systems, which is pretty amazing to me. And growing, and especially during this time of COVID when people have been isolated in cells and all of those things. I know that they've been really appreciated. Each one is numbered. There's a whole system that New Life Prison Ministry actually has to use them. But a lot of these have also gone into into developing countries as well. Nigeria, we just got a mission. I heard a missionary story from Chad, and this woman's a midwife in Chad. She's with Pioneers, and she was in going out to deliver. She was a midwifery, and she was going out to deliver a baby, and she went in to help with the lady. And in the corner, these three women were all huddled together, and they were all listening to an audio Bible, and it was one of the ones that she'd given out that she'd received from Galcom. So pretty amazing to see that happening and to hear those stories. We often don't hear the stories because the radios and the players get out there, and then we don't hear what actually happens. But that was a pretty amazing story.
So we also install Christian radio stations. One of the reasons why we would choose to send an audio Bible instead of a radio is because there might not be a Christian radio station in the area to hook the radio up to. And so, you know, rather than give nothing, we send an audio Bible. But working with partnership, we always work with partnership. Galcom does not own one radio station in the world, but we're always working together with partners that hold the same Christian values that we do, empowering them by providing them with the tools they need to have a Christian radio station. And so we've done many Christian installs in all four corners of the world. We also help to assist radio stations on the air. Right now I'm working out, this is in Albania, and I was there, I think it was 2:15, and that building was
I was with Alan,
yes, that was one of the last trips I went on with Alan, and that building was all falling down, and we went to kind of get it ready. I took a crew there to try and renovate it, and it was unrenovatable, like it was brick, and it had been taken over by the communists for 40 or 50 years, and they'd neglected it, and you could take a fork and just pick the bricks away. They were so rotten, and so we ended up tearing it down, and then they had to build it exactly the way it looked before, except that before it was brick and now it's stucco, same profile and everything. And now there's a radio station, Radio Emmanuel, running out of there. It's actually a station that's not just reaching the what was the only atheistic country, said of themselves in the world, but now it's also reaching into Greece and Macedonia as well with the word of God. I could say more, but time does not permit on that.
So as you know, Galcom is, I'm sure that some of you have come to Galcom to volunteer, but Galcom is run by, we have people who actually work there who are there every day, because obviously we have to order things, we have to have all the equipment to get together, but most of the work is done by volunteers. We're in Hamilton on Nebo Road, and we love our volunteers. Like without volunteers, there's no...
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say there's people here too who've been down there,
yeah,
right?
I'm sure there's people here. Anyone here who's been there?
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, we know that, and we appreciate you, and we're very grateful, because without the work of volunteers, then the work of the radios don't get out.
So a lot of people know that we've had a vision to put Christian radio into Quebec, and that's been on our hearts for years. And then for 5 years, we had to, I use the word fight, but we had to work very hard to get the license for the first station, and so we were able to put the first station in. I was there and put up the tower last August, and in Brownsburg. The main studio is not in Brownsburg, it's just outside of Quebec City in St. Catherine, working with Ojibwe Le Soir, and they provide the content for the radio station, and we provide the actual equipment. And there's others who are partnering as well with that station. But then this last weekend, we're able to put in another station in Rivière Rouge, which is where the higher arrow is on the screen. And you see, what the first station was hard, but then we found out that if we have less than 10 watts in Quebec, we can put up a station anywhere without license. And so, and also during the COVID, a lot of these small churches in Quebec, because Quebec is an unreached people group, some people say even less than 1% would know Christ in a personal way. And so very hard to get in. A lot of small churches, they fell apart during the COVID when they weren't supposed to get together. So we had 100 places, locations, where we're going to put in Christian radio stations over the province, and we kind of lost a lot of those places. But we're looking again to get that going. But we found out, yeah, that we can put in a station without applying for a license if it's less than 10 watts. So we put in a little $100, 7.5-watt transmitter in someone's home with a, what looks like a TV antenna on the roof. And we're covering about a 5-kilometer radius, the small towns, a lot of these small communities in rural Quebec in that way.
So there's a whole lot more we could say. I'm going to just say that we put in a lot of stations over the time, over COVID time, when God closes a door, he opens a window, and this window has been made open to put in radio stations across in the First Nations communities all across northern Canada. So those have gone in over this last time. We've worked with a man called Dan Hatfield. You can see him there. He's the pilot. He has a little plane, gone into these communities and put in Christian radio stations, which is just an incredible privilege, and to be able to do that, that's pretty amazing. And I'm not going to talk any more about that because there's a lot more.
Yeah, that was an amazing time when we couldn't travel outside of Canada, but God opened up the door for us to travel here in Canada and doing work that we probably should have done years ago, but it wasn't under our nose like everything else was, and so God brought that opportunity to us, which we're able to complete. This station is one that we installed. I actually went down and helped to install it down in Vicente Guerrero in Mexico. We've been working with this pastor down there for about over a year. One of my jobs is I vet the people that apply for radio stations. We don't just work with anyone. Hey, I want a radio station. Okay, we'll be down there and do it. No, we have to make sure that we're working with people who hold our values. And so this man I'd communicated with for over a year, and then finally, I think he was probably wondering, are these guys ever going to get down there? But you see the refrigerator on the one side, that was where his transmitter used to be, in a remote location. And of course it doesn't rain much there, so he was able to have the transmitter in the refrigerator and that. So anyway, we went down with a team to install a new state system for him. That property where the old transmitter was belonged to a widow whose husband had recently passed away, and he'd said, you can stay here as long as I'm here. Anyway, after he died, his wife said, I need to sell the property, so we had to move it. So I went down there with those other three guys. One of them had never been on an install before, but he just knew all about radio. He's the guy with the backwards hat. His name's Laszlo. He lives in California. He's Hungarian-American. He knows radio inside and out, but only from a theoretical point of view. But we needed someone to tune the antennas because they were very tricky antennas to tune, so he was on the team. And the guy in the middle that looks like Klondike Pete, that's my good friend Bob. He is from California as well. We met him in a missions conference there. He was looking for something to do, and he said, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not a pastor. I don't work with kids. I really don't know why I'm here. But anyway, Tim said, I know exactly why you're here, because he just told him that he was a tower climber. So Bob's been to all over Africa and, yeah, different parts of Central America with us, Europe with us, and so he was on the team. And then the other guy wasn't going to go on the team. But we had a link that we had to set up between the station and the tower still. They weren't together, and I thought I could do it naively. I just bought the equipment, and I figured it was just a case of setting up a Wi-Fi link kind of a thing. Anyway, one day Shelley had a volunteer area rep meeting, and Don, who's the guy in the white shirt, is a volunteer area rep in BC, and I knew he was a guru with computers, so I said, Don, just off the top of my head, he was there, I said, do you think you might want to go? No, but actually Bob said, well, pray for our trip down to Mexico, because he's also an area rep. And so anyway, and Don ended up going. Honestly, if he hadn't gone, we would not have got that link, and it was not a very simple thing. It was not simple at all. So, and then I wasn't going to go when they were going, and it turned out that I needed to be there as well for the Spanish and then be putting the antenna on the tower. It wasn't strong enough for both people to be on the tower at once, so we had to figure out a way to be able to get the antennas up with two people on the tower, but one significantly lower than the other. And talk to us afterwards, and I'll tell you an amazing God story about how that happened, but don't have time right now. Anyway, I should say that station's in and working now. and reaching probably about twice as far as it reached before. So we're thankful for that.
We just put this in here because I'm going to sit down now and I was going to talk from the Bible, but just our praise and prayer for us as missionaries would be that we're really grateful for the birth of another grandchild, and we're really grateful that we're able to get out and share in churches again. We really think that it's easy to kind of, especially with all that's been going on in our society, to start to think about ourselves and as churches and all of those things, but to recognize that there are still people at the ends of the earth who need to hear God's word, and we can't forget. We have to remember that they're there, and so to be able to cast that vision and to be able to be that voice for the people who are out at the ends of the earth, and so we're really grateful for that. And then also to pray for our new Compass Radio as it's developed and launching it. And then, Lord willing, we'll be able to start mission trips again, and we're thinking about that, and so those are our prayer requests.
Okay, I'd invite you, if you have your Bible here this morning, to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 12, and we'll just read four verses from John, chapter 12. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 24. Actually, we'll go back to verse 23. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. For whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we thank you even for these short verses from our Lord Jesus Christ, really telling us the essence of what it means to be a follower of you, a follower of him. And we pray, Father, that you would open our eyes this morning as we just spend just a few moments in the word. Just that you would open our eyes and open our minds and help us to evaluate where we're at and how we will be able to move forward together and to serve you in a way that will bring honor and glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about, I guess I should move along. Oh, no. Wait a minute. Okay. About tower climbing lessons. So how many of you came expecting to get lessons on how to climb towers this morning? Okay, well, that's good, because I'm not going to teach you how to climb towers. I don't think most of you would probably be up for it. Maybe one or two that could still be up. Alan, actually, right at the end, still was disappointed, by the way, that we had to say he couldn't climb towers anymore. But lessons that I have learned. So I'm not going to tell you about how to climb a tower, but more the lessons that I have learned as a person climbing towers. I was a boy. I was never really afraid of heights until one day I fell out of a tree, and then I had a respect for heights. I still wasn't really afraid. I went back and climbed trees again, but then 10 years ago or so, when I began climbing towers, I thought, oh, this will be no good. No problem, I should say. And I got up to the halfway up the tower, and it was a wobbly tower, and I thought, I don't think I can go any higher up this tower. Well, I had a young man with me from Nova Scotia, 18 years old, and I was supposed to be the climber on the team. And he went, scaled right up to the top, and I thought, what is it? You know, what's the matter with this guy? He climbs towers like that, and I had the energy, but I just, like I said, it kept getting skinnier, and I think, I don't know if I can do this. But anyway, I overcame that by the power of God. I did overcome that fear. But I think everything that I remembered as a child falling out of that tree at that moment came back to me. So lessons that I have learned from climbing towers. The Bible says whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. So you might be thinking, well, what does that really have to do with climbing towers? And I'll tell you what it has to do, because I think all of us are not unlike me climbing that tower the first time. I was afraid, and I wanted to hold on to the tower. I wanted to hold on to the tower. Why? Because it's a long way to fall. And I think each one of us has the inherent desire to hold on to what we have. You know, we have the ability to not see it as something that God has given to us and made us stewards over, whether it's our life or our possessions or our job or our family or whatever, our car, whatever it is that God has given to us. We tend to think that we can control it the best. And so just like me trying to hold on to that tower, we're the same way. We want to hold on to our lives in the same kind of a way. Did I just go back again? I did. There we go. So those are the verses that we just read from John chapter 1. And Jesus talks about a kernel of wheat falling into the ground and dying. And that's not falling off the tower, by the way. That's not falling off the tower and making a big impact at the bottom. But more than that, it's learning to give yourself over to God and to trust Him with your life, with your stuff. And in a way, dying to yourself, dying to your own ambitions, your wishes and everything, and saying, God, I put you in control of my life because I know that you know what's best for me. So the first insight that I like to say that I learned from climbing towers is that we feel secure when we're holding on. But actually, we're most secure when our harness is holding us. You know, I can still remember that first time on the tower, and of course you're working and you've got your harness on. You don't carry it up the tower with you just because of the extra weight of carrying it. It weighs about 40 pounds and, you know, lugging it up the tower. But no, you get it, you take it with you, because when you get there, you need to use it. But at first you're working and you've got your arm locked around the back of the tower and you're trying to work like this, trying to hold on and at the same time do your work, because it's a lot easier to trust your arms and more intuitive than to just let go and to trust the harness. So here's my friend Bob, and as you can see, the harness is holding him. He's actually got his arms crossed. He's relaxing on the tower. He's not afraid at all because he realizes that that harness is a lot stronger than his hands. He's learned that. He's been doing it for years. It's not intuitive to lean back and let go and trust your harness. Believe me, to let go is one of the hardest things. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4 that there remains then a Sabbath day rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of unbelief. So what is the writer to Hebrews saying here? And of course, those of us that know our Bibles and know the Old Testament realize that the children of Israel had an opportunity to go into the promised land. They sent out 12 spies. 10 of them came back with very negative stories. Every one of them was in agreement, by the way, that the promised land was an amazing, amazing place. But 10 of them saw the problems in the promised land, and only 2 of them saw that, yes, there were problems, but God was bigger than the problem. Well, of course, we know what happened. God, because of their unbelief, made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. It's easy to be caught walking in the wilderness, isn't it? You know, you look at your life sometimes, and you feel like you maybe are in a wilderness, like nothing has really changed for 40 years. You're still doing the same things, saying the same things. And maybe that's great. Maybe you're doing the right thing. But I think all of us have sensed wilderness times in our life. And perhaps it's because we haven't got that faith that Caleb and Joshua had to say, yes, I can fight these giants. But instead, we lose the blessing of the promises of God, the rest that God can give us as we trust in our harness. Why? Because we're trying to hold on. We're trying to do things in the way that pleases us. And I've already mentioned it, the harness is strong and tested for hundreds of pounds, our hands are weak. So where are we really the safest, when we're holding on to our lives or when God is holding on to our lives? So we need to remember that the harness is made for our safety and our hands make mistakes. Jesus says, "I give unto them eternal life and they shall perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." So really, where's the safest place to be? Is it in my hands or is it in the hands of my Savior? I think that all of us are in agreement that the safest place for us to be is in the hands of our Savior. He knows what's best. The second insight from climbing towers is that the harness is freeing to be able to do the work. I talked a few minutes ago about getting to the top of the tower and working with my arm like this. But you know what? The problem when you do that is your hands are not free. You cannot really do the work. But if you trust your harness, then all of a sudden, all the effort that you are putting into sustaining yourself and keeping yourself afloat isn't necessary. So your hands are then free to be able to do the work that God has called you to do. Same thing applies, doesn't it, in our Christian lives? If we're so worried about our own needs and our own corner of the world, then we're oblivious to what the other people around us, our church members, our neighbors, are needing. So instead of being able to use our energies and our talents, the things that God has given us to be able to serve one another and to serve our neighbors, we don't, because we're so caught up with trying to keep our own life, trying to keep ourselves safe. So the second insight, then, a harness is freeing. If you trust the Lord with your life, then that puts you in a very good position to be able to, for the Lord to be able to use you, use your hands, use your eyes, not just your hands, but your eyes, your ears, your mouth, whatever it is, to be able to serve Him. So in closing, trying to keep to our 30 minutes here, I hope I haven't gone over. Am I holding on to my life? Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Am I holding on to my life, or is God holding me? Are you allowing God to hold you this morning? Are you in that position where your hands are free to be able to serve others because you've committed your own self and everything you have to Him, knowing that He knows what's best? And in so doing, you've positioned yourself to be able to be used by Him. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What a blessing. Isn't that an amazing thing? Even if we do lose our life down here, and many of the early Christians, and even today in parts of the world, know that what it really means to lose their life. They're not just dying daily, as we're all told to do, to our own desires, wishes, and everything else, but they die, and through their death, life springs up. Because really, we can never perish. We can lose this body, but guess what? Look at your hand, and it's alive, but probably for most of us in 50 years, it won't be much good for anything, because we all know that unless Christ comes back first, this body that we think is so amazing is not going to be around. It's not going to be any use to us, but God says He gives them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of Jesus' hands. No one can snatch us out of His hands. So then in closing, just want to say thank you. Thank you for your support of us, for the support of Galcom Ministry for 40 years, Shelley and me indirectly for the last 24 years. Thank you. And really, honestly, every time I come to this church, I feel the warmth. I feel like if I lived here, honestly, I'm not just saying this, I would want to come to this church. From day one when we first stepped in here, I think you got a really good balance and something going here. God bless you for what you've done, starting the church in Elderton, reaching out, sending out 2,000 brochures or whatever in the mail. Thank you for reaching out, and not just around the world, but here in your community. Thank you from Galcom, and thank you too from the millions of people around the world who have never heard about Jesus. You know, Many of them have come to Christ. Many of them have not. We thank the Lord for the ability that we have had to be able to reach many with radios. Our missionaries don't come back from the field to be able to give testimonies of what's happened. Most of them are still there working away day in, day out in the homes of people. But also, imagine the people in the world who have still never heard. So as I speak, I always want to remember to be an ambassador for those people, to remind the folks here who have churches and libraries and Christian radio and pastors and they can read and Bibles and everything else, what a blessing we have. But let's not lose sight of the fact that there are people living in neighborhoods where there's not a single believer, no churches, no Bibles, they're not able to read. How else will they hear unless we go out, unless we take the word of God to them? So thank you very much for being a part of our lives and allowing us to do what we do. And don't lose heart. And remember that the Lord wants to use you to reach your neighbor, wherever your neighbor might be, here in Canada or around the world. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning that we've been able to take a quick glance at your word. And Lord, I feel like I've probably hurried things. I hope I've communicated what you wanted to say this morning. I do thank you for each one of the people here, those listening live and those who are listening in their homes. Thank you, Father, for the hope, first of all, that we have. Thank you for the hope of eternal life. Thank you that nobody can take that away from us. And secondly, we thank you for, as our brother prayed this morning, we have a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Lord, you didn't just leave us to do this by ourselves, but you are here with us, walking with us. And your word says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And even though you're not physically here, we know that we are your physical representation on earth of Jesus Christ to those around us. We pray, Father, that you would help us to be the people that you want us to be. And we thank you for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.